From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you, and thank you for joining us once again for Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue our study of the Ten Commandments, and we'll be looking at the fifth commandment, Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This commandment is vital for the welfare of our homes, our families, our churches, and our nation. It has a pertinent message for us all, so stay tuned. Before we turn to God's Word, let me encourage you to be in touch with us. Remember that we have some ongoing resources that we offer freely to our listeners. And I'd like to make special mention of a couple of them. First, we have our monthly Let the Bible Speak devotional tape or CD with brief devotional and doctrinal studies, testimonies, and some good music. Second, the April-June issue of our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is one that you won't want to miss. It deals with some of the great moral issues that confront the church today: abortion, euthanasia, homosexuality, and there is also a section on the Lord's Day. It has a vibrant missionary page, a feature article on the life and ministry of a young Christian physician, and other things that you'll be interested in. You may have either of these resources by writing or calling us at Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. You thought you'd heard it all, but I'm sure you've rarely heard anything so bizarre as this. In the Chicago School District, blind high school students are forced to take the written rules of the road part of the driver's education program. Despite the fact that the spokeswoman for the Illinois Board of Education stated bluntly that it defies logic to require blind students to take this course, the school district has thus far insisted. Naturally, blind students object to having to waste their time on a subject that can never be of any practical use to them. Some of them have formed an advocacy group, with the result that the school district now says that it's open to suggestions to waive the requirements. Bizarre indeed. This report set me thinking. I thought about the dumb things people study while neglecting far more important matters. This is particularly true of theological education. I know students in what are accepted as good, strong Bible institutions who practically never have to open the Bible in pursuing their studies. Oh, they open plenty of other books. They study all sorts of sociological gobbledygook. It's only the Bible that appears to be dispensable. The thinking behind this perverse course of preparing men for the Christian ministry is that the church desperately needs to be relevant. That's the buzzword. And we all know that doctrine, theology, and such like are not really practical. Indeed, I know that the very opposite is true. The most relevant book in the world is the Bible. The most relevant message in the world is the gospel. What people need to hear is not some clerical take on world peace or some utopian scheme for social justice, but the old, old story of the riches of God's grace in Christ. I had another thought. The blind Chicago teens had only to study the written part of the driver's ed course. They were not put behind the wheel of a vehicle and sent out into the city. But in many a church, you have a spiritually blind man in the pulpit. The Lord Jesus spoke of the blind leading the blind. And that's precisely what's happening in many a church where the minister has no personal saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember my dad telling me of an incident during World War II. As a veteran of the Great War of 1914-18, he was a little over the optimum age for service in the Second World War, but he wanted to serve his country. So he enlisted and served within Northern Ireland. One day he was sitting alone in his quarters, quietly reading his New Testament, when he noticed the chaplain approaching. In his naivety, my dad thought that every clergyman must be a Christian, and so he was looking forward to some much-needed fellowship. Man, was he in for a shock. The chaplain asked him what he was reading, and my dad told him, volunteering a word of personal testimony and making particular reference to the fact that while he was a prisoner of war in Germany, a German doctor had found him reading that testament. That encounter led to his early release. Dad thought that the chaplain would be interested to hear this, and especially interested to hear how, after his return from the war, he had come to know Christ as his Savior. Instead of interest, the chaplain showed scorn. Dismissing him as mad, he tapped his temple and said, "Poor man, another victim of the Great War." My dad was more sane than the chaplain. The fact was that the chaplain had passed whatever courses his college or seminary demanded, and he was ordained. But he was spiritually blind. Make sure you don't place yourself or your family under the ministry of a man who's spiritually blind. He will drive you with himself into the ditch. Thank you. In continuing our study of the fifth commandment, we pursue the thought that the scope of the commandment is much more than appears at first sight. It's a scriptural endorsement of the proper use of and submission to all divinely instituted authority in the church as well as in the home, but most of all to the authority of our Heavenly Father. The fifth commandment also includes the authority of the church. I realize that nowadays churches are conveniences for most people. I realize that in most cases church authority doesn't exist. If there's one thing that's missing in the preaching and in the discipline of the Church of Christ, it is authority. Many people will not accept the right of elders to rule in a church or to get before God and show the congregation the result of their deliberations and say, this is what God has burdened us from His word and prayer to do. They simply kick over the traces, either ignore the ruling or say we'll go someplace else. But the fifth commandment in ordering honor includes the legitimate use of authority by the Church of Christ. In Galatians 4:26 we read that Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. The greatest commentator, I think, on the book of Galatians is probably John Brown. And Brown says the Jerusalem that is above is the true spiritual church. What we may call the gospel church, proclaiming the covenant of grace. Paul says that's our mother, and we must honor the Church of Christ as we would honor our mother. Strong language, but that's the language of God's Word. Her authority is not to be despised. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. Submit yourselves. Simple word, but my, what rebellion it stirs up in the hearts of so many Christians. Now, without giving away all that I'm going to be saying, I will be majoring tonight. And if I don't get far enough, next week as well. I will be majoring on the family unit and children and parents. But can I say that parents will never successfully inculcate into their children a true sense of biblical honor for them and their authority if those same parents utterly despise the authority and the position of the Church of Jesus Christ and its rulership? It's a contradiction in terms. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul. The fifth commandment, then, includes the authority of state, the authority of the church. But even that is not the whole story. I hadn't really found anybody paying much attention to this until on a totally different matter. Just before I came to church tonight, I checked up what the late Martin Lloyd-Jones had to say, as I say, on a different matter, and I found in a passing reference that he was looking at this exactly the same way as I was, and I said, well, thank the Lord, I'm not completely out on a limb here. I think the fifth commandment, while we normally take it to be the first commandment of the second table of the law, regulating our dealings with men and with authority on earth, nonetheless teaches us how we must react to God's authority. Because you see, the term father is the great term that's given to the Lord. Deuteronomy 14 verse 1, you are the children of the Lord your God. The Lord Jesus said, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Paul told the church at Rome in chapter 8, 15 and 16, ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And it's often been pointed out that the Abba part of that cry is the most intimate family expression.
Without wanting to trivialize the Scripture, the nearest we can come to it in the vernacular today is not Father, but Daddy. It is not the word that the slave would use. It's the word that the child uses to its father. Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so, when we read in the fifth commandment, honor thy father, if we're going to honor our earthly parents, if we're going to honor our rulers, if we're going to honor the rule of grace in the church, then first and foremost we must honor our God. And while a man is living to despise his God, he cannot properly fulfill any other duty. He cannot discharge any other responsibility. He will be failing and contaminating every earthly relationship into which he enters, so long as he is despising the Lord his God. Because while these are written to Christians, and in every case here, the Father speaks of the Lord as Savior. Paul spoke to heathens in Acts 17, and he spoke of the whole of humanity, and he said, we are God's offspring. And in Malachi 2:10, we have the question, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? There is a sense in which this refers them to God the Creator. The fifth commandment then is teaching that all men should honor the Lord because He created them. But Christians especially should honor the Lord because He saved them. Now then, here's the full extent of the fifth commandment. God has ordered all human society on the basis of legitimate authority, which every one of us, saved and unsaved, should acknowledge and respect because we acknowledge and respect the authority of God Himself. Now that's what the fifth commandment is fully all about. But as soon as I say that, you'll recognize that's a huge subject. And it's much too big for me to get through in one message, or even two messages, or even three or four messages. Much too big. To do justice to the subject of the fifth commandment, as I have just set it forth, we would need to consider the biblical doctrine of legitimate authority, its proper exercise in the church and in the state, and then in the home. We would need to consider what the Bible teaches regarding the duties of citizens toward the state and the duties of the state towards its citizens. We would need to study the limits of state authority. As I mentioned this morning, to study the difference between authority and mere power. We would have to consider from Scripture the right of protest against the tyrannical abuse of power. And when and by whom a revolution against a government may be pursued. Some Christians believe it's never right to pursue a revolution against a government. In that case, every one of you should apply very quickly to the House of Parliament in England for citizenship once again, because you're all living in sin. However, if you understood Protestant theology, which is biblical theology, you would understand that there is a basis in Scripture, in the scriptural teaching of grades of magistrates. There is a basis in Scripture for a biblical revolution against tyrannical abuse of power. It does not rest in the hand of the individual. The Bible does not allow anarchy, even as an excuse to overthrow tyranny. The Bible does not advocate anarchy, but there is a biblical doctrine of the right to overthrow a tyrannical government. We would need to look at that. Coming to the church, we would need to consider the nature and proper use of church power by the elders. and the nature and the necessity of Christians joyfully submitting themselves to it. As I pointed out, that proud, selfish despising of legitimate authority, even in the church, will be a flagrant breach of the law of God, because it's despising God Himself. Now, those are big matters. Undeniably, those are important matters. And maybe if I were giving a theological lecture, I would take time to go through those in detail. But the Bible has much to say on them. Let me sum it all up and say that the main thing to recognize is that the law of God forbids unbridled individualism, and it commands a true respect and honor for legitimate authority. Now, that's as far as I can pursue those subjects, because I want to confine the study to the primary reference of the commandment, which is the proper attitude and actions of parents and children toward each other. Now, I set out with the intention of doing it all tonight, and I may yet do that. But Dr. Barrett is running short of time. He's to go and meet his wife. And you know, I can't put a stress upon that marriage relationship, so I may not go too far, time-wise or otherwise, tonight. It may come as a shock when I include the duties of parents in the subject, when the text says it's addressed to children, honor thy father and thy mother. Well, think of the terms father and mother. Those are terms that must be understood in the full sense of the word. We read in Ephesians chapter 6 tonight, where the Apostle Paul was quoting, applying, and therefore expounding this fifth commandment. And he did speak to the children, but he also spoke to the parents. You can't divorce them. It's a little bit like when a husband comes and says, my wife's not in subjection. Well, she should be in subjection. He mightn't be all that he's supposed to be, but wife, you should be in subjection. And you should not be flaunting the legitimate desire and authority and instruction of your husband. You can't do that without flying in the face of God. But yet, so many times a husband comes and says, my wife's not in subjection. But what about the other part that says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it? Very often those very husbands who are griping the loudest are the most self-centered creatures, and they simply waft in and out of the home as if they were visitors from outer space. Now, that does not in itself justify the wife's breach of the law of God, but it explains it in part. And similarly, parents who are always harping at their children, honor your father, honor your mother, while they themselves are not fulfilling the duties that the Bible sets down for fathers and mothers, will soon find that they're causing more harm than good.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.